This is where smart business conversations meet real-world experience, where strategies are shared, lessons are learned, and ideas come to life. I'm Emily Galindo, and you're watching Biz Talk, your destination for real insight from the mind shaping tomorrow's business world. Only on Now Media Television.
Welcome to Biz Talk. I'm your host, Emily Galindo, and on this show, we dive into the challenges and opportunities that business owners face and provide practical solutions to help you thrive. Today, we're joined by someone who knows firsthand how overwhelming tax season can feel for individuals and business owners. Our guest, Tembi Malalazi, is a dedicated business partner with expertise in accounting and tax. She's known for helping her clients save both money and time through streamlined processes like digital transfers, virtual consultations. What really sets her apart is how she combines her deep knowledge with modern technology, all while building strong client relationships beyond her professional work. She even gives back volunteering at her church youth club, helping young people develop essential life skills. Tembi, thank you for joining us here today.
Thank you, Emily, for having me.
Yes, let's start by talking about everybody's favorite thing about what you do, which is tax season.
Right. Right.
It tends to feel like really scary, and I know it's only August right now, but it kind of sneaks up on you, yes? Or at least we as business owners go, oh, it's April again, and we have tax season time. So can you help us by telling us that we have enough time and that tax is not, it's not stressful, and help us understand kind of what we should be preparing for at this time?
Right. So understandably so, business owners would like wake up just before April 15 or March 15 and be like, oh my goodness, it's tax season again. Because you're busy as business owners, you are serving clients, you are chasing sales, you're just trying to keep the business afloat, right? But I don't think that's the best way to approach it, right? So the problem is that business owners tend to treat taxes as a once a year event, instead of a year-round process, right? So that's what we are trying at my firm, trying to change that mindset, right? Saying tax is an all year-round event. If you start by doing regular check-ins, you are estimating and paying your quarterly taxes, you are setting aside money for taxes each time you get paid, that way the tax issue then becomes part of your normal routine of running the business. You don't wake up only when it's beginning of the year and you're like, oh my goodness, it's tax time again. So just, you need to fit it into your cycles, your monthly cycles, your regular reviews as you go right through the year.
So would you say, like, what are some of the biggest mistakes? Obviously ignoring it and pretending like it's not going to happen every year is the number one. So what are some other mistakes that some of the business owners that you see that come to you work, that you work with, that they've been making for a long time that puts them in that kind of situation?
Right. You certainly don't want to hide your head in the sand, right? Because it's not going to go away. Taxes are not going away anytime soon. So one of the biggest mistakes is underestimating the complexity of the tax situation that you have. Whether you're a business owner, whether you have one business or two businesses, never underestimate the complexity. So if you're one of those DIYers, do-it-yourself tax people, and you're also running a business, you run a very high risk of either missing out on some deductions, or worse still, you might actually trigger some penalties because of some of the things that you have done when you thought you understood how the tax code works, and actually maybe you didn't really understand how it works. So never underestimate, and always plan for taxes. Like we say, taxes are not going away anytime soon, right? So you need to put processes in place to make sure that you meet your obligations and your timelines and your deadlines as they come upon you.
For our DIYers, are there some recommendations that you would make for them to be a little bit more, to get more organized for their fiscal year? And what are some things they should be doing that they can do themselves?
Right. The biggest one that I always say to business owners is the bookkeeping part, because bookkeeping is a foundation of the taxes, right? So get that right, and then half of the work already is done, right? So get your bookkeeping, like treat it as part of, you know, how you brush your teeth every day. Just put it as part of your daily work. Check your books, make sure you're, try and put into use digitization where you're able to. So for example, if you connect to your bank account and you're using an accounting system, that already helps you with the categorization of expenses, and you won't have to go through each line by line, because AI helps a lot lately, and you don't have to think of it as AI. A simple ERP system like QuickBooks can help you get rid of a lot of the manual work that you were doing as far as splitting expenses or categorization of those expenses. And the other thing is you want to be able to track your spending regularly. So if you set aside time, let's say once a week, to say, I'm going to review my books, look at your expenses, look at your income, and see that all the money that you received that week, you took out a portion and you put it aside in a separate bank account, and that account is dedicated only for taxes. You're going to find that your year goes by very smoothly. And the other thing that I want to emphasize that we spoke about, I think last week in another episode, having a dedicated or a separate business banking account only for business transactions. So if you implement all of these small tools, you'll find that as you go through the work, through the year, your work is not as complicated or taxes and doesn't creep up upon you, because your books are already, your books are clean and you are closing your month end, your books are reconciled, your transactions are reconciled. By the time you get to tax season, it's a matter of just doing the tax return, filing it, and you go and make the payment, because you already have a separate account reserved with the money for paying the taxes.
Okay. And I mean, then that's really great advice, because you are correct. At the end of the year, if it could all look as flawlessly as you just mentioned, that would be a beautiful thing for most business owners. But it doesn't account for, as you mentioned, the complication of understanding a tax code and what you actually right. owe and things like that. Right. You can do your best guess, but ultimately, would you recommend having a licensed, you know, a certified tax professional help you understand those tax codes? And so with that money that is sitting in that bank account, it may not all need to go to the right. to the government, right?
Right, absolutely. So partnering up with a professional licensed tax preparer or a tax planner or a tax person, a professional, let me say that, is actually a game changer, because you don't want to just pay taxes as it comes to you. You want somebody who's going to help you with strategies to pay only what you need to pay. You don't want to pay a dollar more than what you are supposed to pay, right? So you need somebody Amen. Who's going to look at, who's going to give you that confidence as you do your, as you run your business, you prepare your bookkeeping, you hand it over to a professional. That professional looks at what strategies are applicable to this type of business, right? And they look at the tax code. They know the tax code maybe better than you do, because your focus is running the business, right? So you want somebody who is then going to reduce your tax bill legally, of course, and then also act as your partner in this business growth journey. So the peace of mind that comes with having a trusted partner, I would say, is priceless.
It really is. I mean, as a small business owner myself, there are lots of things that we just don't understand, right? That we, and you nailed it. We do not want to give a single dollar more than we have to. And so we would love to have an advisor telling us all of the loopholes that we have access to.
Right.
And knowing that when it's filed at the end of the year, that nobody's coming back to ask me questions. And if so, it's not my responsibility. So like that stress relief from having a professional like yourself, it really is priceless.
Absolutely.
So if one of our viewers is, you know, feeling the overwhelm, even though it's not tax season right now, and this is a great time to get cleaned up if you aren't, right. If somebody's feeling that overwhelm of, I already know I've messed up this year, I haven't done my books all year long, I have no separate account, I don't know where the money's going to come from, right? We're all of that's happening and we're just putting our head in the sand. What would be a recommendation, or would you say, would be their very first step to get back on track to getting out of that situation?
Okay. The first thing I'll do is to assure them, obviously, first that, you know what, most things can be fixed. It doesn't matter how big the situation is. So their first step is to maybe take a deep breath, right? Take a deep breath, get all your documents together. If you don't know what documents you need to get together, reach out, right? You reach out to a tax professional that will work with you They will look at what obligations you have, what compliance requirements you have, and they will tell you what documents then you need to put together, and then they will work out a step-by-step plan for you to get back to compliance, right? So whether it's late filings, whether it's bookkeeping chaos, or whatever it is, we can fix all of that. We can help you clean up your bookkeeping, file your tax returns, negotiate if you don't have all the money you need. We can negotiate with the IRS for you so you can have a payment plan that works with your business, right? So most of those things can be fixed. The main important step is to reach out to a tax professional and then have somebody work with you, and you can focus on running the business.
That was wonderful, because that wonderful advice, because as you did that, I did take a deep breath and went, okay, everything's going to be okay. So I love that was your first step of advice. Do you have a story or a client that has come to you in a situation like that, where that was this, what I just described? And do you want to tell us a little bit about how you helped them manage through that?
Absolutely. So there's a client that reached out to me. The client is an octogenarian, and they run a business from home. They sell jewelry. So they were not well during COVID. So for about over 2.5 years, they were in and out of hospital. So obviously they fell back on their tax filings, and they reached out to me last year. So because it's an octogenarian, I did a special case. I physically went to their home, and they showed me a pile of letters they'd received from the IRS. And he's like, oh, Tembi, this is so overwhelming. I thought I would catch up. But now I was like, you know what? Don't worry. I'm here. You've done the right thing. First step you've taken, you've reached out to me. So long story short, I took all the paperwork they had. The first thing was for me to call the IRS and negotiate an extension, right? So they had demand letters you haven't filed, your personal returns, you haven't filed your business returns. So I negotiated more time with the IRS. And then I then took time to understand their business, how they run their business, and then took the bank statements, prepared all their bookkeeping, backdated. We had 3 years of bookkeeping catch up to do. So we did all of that, got the client to sign off, and then we started on the tax returns. Started off, filed all the tax returns for the business, then we moved on to the personal tax returns. And obviously, they had incurred a lot of penalties with the IRS for late filing and money's not paid. So I had to move on to the next step, which is what we call tax resolution, to now negotiate a reduction or a waiver of some of those penalties. And where the penalties didn't qualify for a waiver, we negotiated a payment plan. So it was a long project that took a lot of months. But even today, when this client talks to me or when they see me, they're like, you helped me so much. Now I can sleep. I don't have to worry. You have to worry. I'm like, it's okay. I can take that. So I do all the worrying for them.
That's fantastic. And if somebody is watching right now that has been in a situation like this or is feeling some of those things we're talking about, how can they get a hold of you?
So yeah, they can get hold of me, Tembi Elmlalazi, on LinkedIn. You'll easily find me. And the name of our firm, if you look, if they can see the screensaver, the wall drop behind me, ArcTax Advisors CPAs. So that's our name. LinkedIn, we're also there, ArcTax Advisors. On Instagram, ArcTax Advisors. And our website, ArcTaxAdvisors.cpa, right? And if you want to send us an email, you're welcome to do so. hello@ArcTaxAdvisors.cpa. Yeah.
Wonderful. Tembi, you have provided us with a wealth of knowledge and a lot of value today, as well as a lot of deep breaths and resolution. So I appreciate you coming on. And if people want to get a hold of you, please reach out. She just being in this interview has helped me with that. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Stick around, everybody. We will be right back after this commercial break.
We are just getting started. Stick around and we'll be right back with more lessons, insights, and behind-the-scenes stories from the people driving real business forward. You're watching Biz Talk, only on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Emily Galindo, and this is Biz Talk on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into the conversations that move business forward.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. Love what you're watching. Don't miss a moment of Biz Talk or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming in English and Spanish. Prefer to listen on the go? Catch the podcast version of the show right on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. Welcome back to Biz Talk. I am still your host, Emily Galindo, and we are going to stay on the financial train because it is tax season. And so we are joined today by Joseph Reyes, a CPA who has over 15 years of experience leading the JL Reyes Accounting and Tax CPAs, and dedicates and has decades of experience helping people stay ahead financially. Joseph combines his deep background in accounting and planning with a practical approach that helps businesses thrive without failing or falling into financial chaos. So, Joseph, thank you for being here today.
Oh, thank you for having me. Good to be here.
You bet. Let's start with a big one for you. So many owners feel that they are that as their company grows, they lose track of their money. I think a problem most business owners probably don't really want to have, but would be a good problem to have because that means you're growing, right? So my question for you is, what financial growing pains from your perspective are some of the biggest ones that you would most often see in the financial world?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting to have a business that's growing, right? You start from scratch, let's say, hopefully, maybe, and you take it from zero revenue to, you know, 100,000, 200, 500. And the bigger you get, the more complex you're going to get. So you could see a lot more revenues coming in the door, but then you've got another issue to deal with, right? You have to deal with how do you manage that growth. More growth today, revenue growth, oftentimes means more requirements for your cash flow. For instance, you know, if you run a business that has inventory or accounts receivables, you bill your clients, you don't get paid immediately, and then you have a payroll. So it's entirely possible to see more money coming in the door, but not seeing the money easily available to make your payroll or to sock money away for yourself, or, you know, maybe you have an AR that, you know, a client that pays 30, 45, 60 days out, sometimes, you know, even longer, even in this day and age of fast cash transactions. So the biggest one issue is the cash flow. The bigger you grow, the more demands your cash flow requires. And if you're not careful, you could actually find yourself with more growth and not enough money to make payroll. Now, wouldn't that be a disaster? So you got to have a handle on the cash flow. It's the lifeblood of business, right? I mean, that's what business is all about at the end of the day. On top of that, you know, you have to also manage not, you know, at the payroll, but if you are growing, you may need more software or different software. You know, the software that you use to get to, let's say, 500,000 in revenues is not the same software you're probably going to use to, you know, manage $5 million. That's a disaster also. So you got to plan ahead for that. And then, of course, if you're growing and your revenues are growing and you're making money, you have to start thinking about, you know, taxes on the profits, whether it's to you personally as a pass-through entity, or if the corporation itself, you know, has to pay taxes. So it's very easy to grow and then without planning be, you know, in a cash crunch.
Definitely some really great advice there because, yes, cash flow is the lifeblood of any business. And depending on how you collect and all of those things might impede your ability to buy some of those financial software solutions. On that question, what are some systems and processes that you would recommend that people have in place, that business owners have in place before they scale? I know that's a challenging thing to kind of ask of our owners, especially, right? It's always the chicken or the egg. Do I hire first and have work later, or do I implement these processes first, but when I don't really have the money or the business? But if you're planning on growth and success, what would you recommend that business owners have in place prior to exponential growth, scaling or growth?
Yeah, I love that question. You know, my favorite response is always the same. Let's say you're opening up a restaurant. What has to happen before you open those doors and you have people coming in the door, right? You have to have the ovens, you have to have the chairs and the tables, you have to have inventory of all kinds of stuff, including food. You need wait staff if you're going to be serving indoor food, right? So you have to have a lot of things first before you even open your doors. That comes with some kind of planning. So systems, right? So yeah, you need to have some kind of a budget. You have to have some kind of an understanding of what to expect. Hopefully you did your due diligence before you open the restaurant, but you want to know, like, okay, what can we expect with foot traffic? And based upon that, what can we expect for, food requirements, coffee requirements, whatever it is, tables, chairs. You also have to have some cash forecasting procedures in place. I mean, at the end of the day, if you know you're going to have X amount of people coming in the door and X number of clients and customers, what's it going to take to service those customers properly? That requires some thought and some planning. And then, of course, to manage your business and manage the dollars, you got to have a reliable bookkeeping system. That's a given. You also want to have a segregation of duties. If you got somebody collecting the cash, you don't want that person collecting the cash to be the one reconciling your cash register at the end of the day. And if you, as you grow, you want to have standard operating procedures, workflow processes written down so that people coming in as employees, they know what to do. They get trained. You also need to know what are your KPIs. KPI is a key performance indicator. What does a restaurant like yours do, generally speaking, in your area, in your state, nationwide? How much should you be spending on payroll? How much should you be spending on, various different types of expenses and, upkeep? Because if you're not keeping track of what other people are doing in your industry, you may be overpaying employees, you may be underpaying employees. You could be making all kinds of bad decisions. So my recommendation is to do some good planning and have somebody to help you with that.
And so with that being said, so I mean, in your realm of expertise, some of those processes include proper bookkeeping software, right?
Sure. Yes.
What else would you a proper inventory system?
Yeah, if it's required, but certainly, if you're using Excel to track your stuff, that works okay. But as you grow, you definitely need something that, like you said, tracks inventory. So NetSuite, QuickBooks Online is one of the most, common bookkeeping products, and it does a very good job for many small businesses. Having a financial advisor, somebody that's walk you, walk with you as you plan what has to happen. And today, the big one is AI. How can we have a conversation about business without AI,
Right.
right? So you can have AI give you all kinds of great data to help you plan. In fact, over the weekend, I was doing a whole bunch of planning for myself and my business, and that spills over to the personal life. And just have a conversation with ChatGPT 5, the latest and greatest ChatGPT version. And you could ask it all kinds of questions. And everything that I just said, you could dump that into ChatGPT, have a conversation, and personalize that conversation and start to get a real good idea of what you should be doing with your business. I totally recommend AI to run a business today. If you're not using it to AI today, you're falling behind faster than you even think.
I actually interviewed an AI expert on this show not too long ago, and he said, if you aren't using AI, you might as well put a closed for business sign on your door.
I love it. Yep.
I was like, you went there, but good for you because it's true. With that being said, my favorite question to ask people in the financial services world is definitely, is it more expensive to invest in some of these financial software solutions? And more importantly, in having a CPA and a financial advisor, is it more expensive to do that on the front end or on the back end?
Well, it depends, right? So you have somebody bootstrapping it, they're like, they're 50 years old, they just lost their job, and it's going to be pretty difficult to find another job maybe. And And you've been kicking around, well, maybe I should just start a consulting business or just follow my dreams and just go for it. So you could wind up bootstrapping it. So you have to kind of plan it out and know what your risks are, but maybe the expensive software is not the way to go when you're first starting out. A lot of people start businesses that are well capitalized, in which case, yeah, set everything up in place from day one. Don't overkill it, but good software and having a bookkeeper or somebody who can help you, manage the data and track, what's going on with the business daily or monthly. But many people, I've met many, and I'm one, started a, a business with bootstrapping it and just plowed and just turned my time into dollars. And there are certain luxuries that you forego until you grow. That's the reality of the situation. I work with many small businesses, and let me tell you, so many are bootstrapping it and saying, you know what, let's throw it at the wall and see what sticks, and using an advisor to help you along the way, highly recommended.
I also recommend it, and I find that most times it's more of an expensive learning opportunity on the back end. If you don't, you can forego the systems and all things like that, but when you get a $100,000 tax bill and it's because you didn't talk to anybody on the front end, that's a very expensive lesson to have to learn.
Tough one.
Right. All right. Well, if you'll hang out with us and stick around after this commercial break, we will be right back and continue to talk to Joseph about the most stressful responsibility a business owner has, and that is paying payroll. So we'll be right back.
We are just getting started. Stick around and we'll be right back with more lessons, insights, and behind-the-scenes stories from the people driving real business forward. You're watching Biz Talk, only on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Emily Galindo, and this is Biz Talk on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into the conversations that move business forward.
Welcome back. I'm here on Biz Talk with our CPA, Joseph Reyes, and we have talked a lot about growing quickly and how to prevent pacing your systems. And we're going to transition a little bit into a topic that most business owners, it's like the thing we love to do, but also hate to do at the same time, and that is paying payroll. We know we can't do business without our employees, and sometimes tackling payroll is a topic that can break trust with your employees. It can also build a really great culture. So for many business owners, payroll is complicated and overwhelming, but Joseph's here to break it down for us. All right, Joseph, so why is payroll one of the most stressful responsibilities for a small business owner?
Well, it doesn't only affect the business owner, right? It affects the employees. You drop that ball, you just mess up massively. Back in 2013, I was just 2 years into the CPA firm that I built, and I thought, you know what? Let's do payroll. It's a profitable business. It's lots of opportunity, lots of work there. So on January 2nd, 2013, we started doing payroll. January 21st, I said, okay, we're not doing payroll anymore. It was so crazy complicated. And I knew it was complicated. I've done tons of payroll in my life, as a young bookkeeper. But it was so bad that I just stopped. Payroll is super complex nowadays and time consuming. So if you're a busy business owner and you're wearing 20 different hats at any given day, payroll is not one of the things you want to do. It's not just a matter of, tracking hours and making a payroll and making payments to your employees. You have to deal with the complexity. It's technological. There's technology involved. It's no longer just, paper, pen, and a check. So and there's so many good payroll companies out there today that we just think that you don't need that level of complexity in your life. It's just, making sure you make the payroll on time, every time. And if you cannot, you could Zelle the number, the dollars, you could Venmo the dollars to your employees so they can make their, guess what, their payroll, their rent, they can make their food purchases, they can pay tuition, things of that nature. So it's a very personal issue that if you can't get wrong, but if you do get wrong, you better fix that right away or you're going to have trouble with your employees.
Absolutely, you're going to have trouble. They're not going to come to work, possibly, or they're not going to treat your customers the way that you would like them to. I mean, this really puts the whole business at risk, right? If we don't get this right. So, what mistakes do you commonly see when people, business owners, are trying to handle payroll themselves?
Well, one of the top ones, believe it or not, is not really just payroll because it's just making the proper payments. Because with Race Accounting, we have employees and contractors, consultants that we regularly use. So when we run payroll, we pay employees and contractors through the payroll. But one of the mistakes that we see people making a lot of is they treat their employees like they're contractors and pay them as a 1099 contractor. And what that does is create potential problems because, first of all, if they don't def they don't really get defined as a real contractor, you've got tax fraud going on. You're breaking tax law, right? Your employment law. So one of the biggest mistakes people make, and like, oh, you're part-time, I'm just going to give you a check. No, it doesn't work that way. You could be a part-time employee versus a part-time contractor. So that's one of the mistakes that we see people making all the time. Another one is if they're doing the payroll themselves, there are tax forms you have to fill out, and you got it when you withhold money from employees' paychecks, it is not your money, it is their money. And you cannot use that money as float for paying your rent. So you must forward that money over to the government. So there are forms to fill out, and you got to send that money in. And if you don't do it on time, you're going to get penalized. The government, takes a very dim view of employers using their employees' money for their own purposes and thinking, employers do that all the time. Oh, when that check comes in from that client next week, I'll take care of it then. Well, Murphy's Law, right? Something's almost always going to go wrong. So also, calculating overtime and, maybe the proper time. It gets all crazy, especially when it's harried and fast. It's so easy to make one mistake, and one mistake is all it takes to require an amended payroll tax return to be filed, which will get you penalties and interest and a super headache, which is why we stop doing payroll like very quickly.
Yes. And I, believe it or not, still know a business owner, a lawyer even, who sits down every month and does payroll. And I'm like, your time at minimum, just your time to do that is costing the business way more money than hiring a company. So let's talk about that. So let's talk about companies that we can outsource, or that how does outsourcing payroll systems make life feel a little bit easier, safer, more consistent, all of those things?
Well, I'm a big fan of the payroll companies, the large ones in particular, but the smaller ones, you have to be selective. But, I run a payroll. It's a system that's already set up. All I have to do is log in, put in my password, log in, and up pops the employees that we already set up in the system. And then all I got to do is put in their hours if they get paid by the hour, or if they're on salary. I don't even have to do anything. It's already set up. And it's just a few clicks of the button, and then the payroll is calculated. You know the taxes are going to be correct. You know that the deposits, if you're not late in filing, if processing your payroll, you know it's going to be on time. You know that the employees are going to feel good about having a reliable software or payroll company that they can look at. They can go online, they can look at their pay stubs, they can look at year-to-date earnings, they can look at year-to-date taxes withheld, and that just imbues a lot of confidence in employees. So I'm a big fan of the outsources, ADP, Paychex. There are many out there. Be careful with the small payroll companies that do not automatically impound the money from your checking account and forwards it over to the government. So it's called impounding. So the large companies will, you run a payroll, whatever the total dollars are, taxes included, withholding plus your share of taxes, they will impound it, and then they will pay the employees, and then the tax piece of it, they will within very short order send it into the government. Payroll companies that do not do that, they hold on to your money, onto that money for, let's say, a few weeks. And then when the time comes for a payroll tax return to be filed, then they do it and then they send the money in. So they're holding on to that cash and they get the float and the interest on that. But what if they go out of business? If it's not a large company, these small payroll companies, it's not unheard of that they go out of business or they encounter problems and they mismanage their money. So your money doesn't make it to the government. Guess who the government's going to call?
Nothing.
You don't want that. So it gets really messy. And so outsource the payroll to good, reputable payroll companies, and there are many, and get rid of that headache.
Well, you just made a lot of payroll reps day today, I think. So what you're suggesting to our viewers is that for all of those payroll companies that are beating down their door to maybe help alleviate this stressor for them, maybe take the meeting and see what they have to
Yeah,
offer.
for sure. That was my record. That's what I've been doing for many, many years now, over 12 years, and I have never looked back.
Yes, absolutely.
But
And
you still
you
have a
did.
responsibility to file on time. And just recently, I failed to file on time. My employees had their money in their pocket before the payroll would have gotten the money into their pocket because I made good on it. I Zelled them the money. First time in 15 years that that happened to me, by the way, because I got so busy.
Wow. See, even a tax professional, payroll professional, financial professional messes up every once in a while. It's so I love that you acknowledge that because those of us who aren't that and are trying to run a business, I think beat up on ourselves that we can't do all the things, all the aspects of the business. And so thank you for acknowledging that it's not easy. This is just, it's not easy. It's not for everybody, I don't think.
But the solution was
So
simple.
the solution is very simple
Yeah.
because, as you mentioned, the software and offloading it to a reputable company that can help you with this does a lot of different things. It, I mean, aside from gets the money where it needs to go and pays the government, so no, nobody's in trouble.
Right.
I like the point that you make about it being, it helps the employees feel safe and secure in their job in the company that they work for, and that it helps build a good culture within your own establishment that
Right.
they're going to get paid.
Right. Yep. Never missed a payroll in my life until just last week.
Well, it happens to the best of us, Joe.
Yeah. And I still, before they woke up the next on payday, they had the money in their account, one way or the other. So,
That's fantastic. That's
yeah.
fantastic. Good employers. That's how you run a good business. So if people wanted to reach out to you to chat about opportunities or obviously not payroll because you don't do that anymore, but if financial services they might be struggling with, how can they get a hold of you?
Oh, my website has all my information, reyesaccounting.com. That's Reyes accounting.com. And my contact information, everything you need to know is there. And we're a nationwide, accounting firm. We have clients all over the country now. We're very technical and remote accessed. So that website will give you everything you need to know. Thank you.
Wonderful. And stay around with us. We'll be right back. After we get back, Joe and I are going to talk about the most exciting thing, so you don't want to miss it, which is how do entrepreneurs go beyond just running the business and how do we start building some real wealth? So we'll be right back after this.
We are just getting started. Stick around and we'll be right back with more lessons, insights, and behind-the-scenes stories from the people driving real business forward. You're watching Biz Talk, only on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Emily Galindo, and this is Biz Talk on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into the conversations that move business forward.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. If you are just now joining us, I've got Joseph Reyes, the CPA, with us today. We have talked all things business growth, payroll, but now it's time to look at something that entrepreneurs often forget, and that is our own future. So, Joseph, let's talk about building personal wealth beyond just using the business.
Great.
Some of the things you and I were talking in, during the break, and these are things that are hitting home for us. And talking about our own personal wealth with someone like you, I think, is helpful because when we're business owners, we think only about the business and we forget that we also have a future of our own lives, of our children and where they're going to go to school and how what their future is going to be like, as well as what does our retirement look like and all types of things as a person, not just as the entrepreneur. So why do you or do you see this as a common thing that business owners aren't or entrepreneurs aren't looking at their own personal wealth, personal financial wealth, and only your focus on the business?
Yeah, well, you know, a business, especially if it's a startup and, you know, you're starting to scale and you're growing and it's just consuming your every thought. And my family accuses me of that constantly. It's like, all you ever think about is your business. I'm like, well, it's a baby, right? It needs to be nurtured from babyhood to adulthood, if you will. And so it's always on your mind, of course. And so what happens is, you know, it consumes your thoughts. It's consuming a lot of your cash. If you're bootstrapping it, especially, which is so, so common in the United, you know, around the world, really, at the end of the day. So it's very easy for a business owner to just want to grow the business and thinks that everything else is going to take care of itself, like retirement planning. And so if you're just a startup and cash is tight, maybe you've liquidated your 401k, maybe you dipped into your savings account, and you're saying, I hope this works, right? So the last thing you're going to do is take money out of the business and put it into and start putting it into your retirement account, right? Because let's say you took money out of your retirement account. You're not going to do that. So one of the biggest things is, you know, startups, you know, cash-strapped businesses, they're not going to take money out. Retirement dollars are the last thing they're going to think about, and that's understandable. However, once you're scaling and you're starting to, you know, the business is starting to make profits, then it's at that point that you got to really give serious thought to, okay, I got to get back on track with my retirement planning. And, you know, the way money works is the sooner you start investing over the long term, the more likely you are to become wealthier, right? And so that's the one thing. So as a business is growing and it's throwing out cash that you can take out as profits, you know, sticking a little bit of it into a retirement account, it's a great idea. The younger you are, the sooner you want to do that. As you get older, you really need to be talking to a financial advisor to start plotting out, you know, what is retirement going to look like? So if you're starting a business at 50 or 60 and, you know, you're starting to scale, you really need to be having serious conversations with professional financial advisors who can plot out your, you know, your future and figure out what retirement is going to cost. But at the end of the day, you also have an issue with people using their businesses as their retirement plan. In other words, I'll grow and I'll sell it. Well, as we can all see, we got AI today, right? All kinds of things are changing. And what may have worked 25 years ago may not work today. And if you think that your business is still going to be around in 10, 15, 25 years for when you want to retire, well, maybe not. You know, I'm hearing stories about AI agents nowadays creating companies for people and kicking out cash, and there's only one person running the business, and that's the owner, zero employees. You know, can you sell that off to somebody else later on? Maybe, but nobody saw that coming 40 years ago. And so you got to be careful with your retirement planning, and the business itself could be a retirement plan, absolutely. But be careful not to, you know, think that what's going on today works today is going to work tomorrow. So taking money out of the business into a retirement account and retirement planning as you're growing is a super idea.
And it is absolutely. And I know that you had touched on the, if you're early on in your business and every dollar is going back into it and we're nurturing the baby so it doesn't die. Once we get over that and maybe they're in daycare now and we can start parceling some of that, how do we strike that balance and create, you know, it as a, maybe a business system, if you will, to, instead of taking every dollar that we have and reinvesting it in the business and starting to invest it in something for ourselves personally. And this is not financial advice. I'll say that for you, because you're not a CFP, but, and we would want to get one of those involved, but is there a place from a CPA's perspective, from an accounting tax perspective, is removing, would that be income or is it taxable? Is there a way that we can do that within the business so that we can invest in our own personal wealth? But it being, I don't know, from a tax side, I don't know what my question is exactly, but you probably understand.
I get it. You know, so once the business is making money and you're at a point where you're taking money out of the business as profits or even a salary, because it's, you know, if you have an S corporation, let's say, or C corporation, taking money out of the business, you know, it's it could be a salary, right? If you're an LLC, single member LLC, you can't run a, take a salary, but you can take a draw. You know, at the end of the day, once you get to a place where you're taking money out in whatever form, you have to take into consideration long-term retirement planning. And also, you know, something as simple as an emergency fund. You know, maybe you liquidated, maybe you took your chances. You say, I'm throwing all the money I got into this puppy. And, but as soon as you can, you want to get the money back into your pocket to replenish an emergency fund. So you should always have like 3 to 6 months of funds available in the event of an emergency. But something like, you know, having separate business and personal accounts, making sure you're not commingling your funds. But when you're taking money out of the business, take 5-10%, a small percentage, stick it into a retirement account, and let the time value of money and compounding start to work in your favor as you age, you know. But at the end of the day, taking money out of the business, putting a little away for retirement, continue to feed the puppy, feed the business. Don't, you know, start taking, you know, lavish vacations when the business it really needs your cash. But once you take money out, yeah, you got to start investing in your retirement fund, emergency fund, and, you know, your personal, you know, maybe things are falling behind on the personal side. Take care of business.
Are there examples of tax strategies that can also serve as wealth building strategies?
Well, one of my favorite topics. So I'm a tax guy, right? So we keep on top of what's going on within the tax law world. And yeah, if you're a business owner, you can have a solo 401k, you can have a regular 401k, profit sharing 401k, a SEP IRA. There's so many ways that you can take money out of the business, let's say a salary, and put that into a pre-tax retirement account. And, you know, there's a debate, you know, not a debate, but there's differences of opinion about should you be using a Roth IRA, let's say, or a Roth 401k versus a traditional, you know, pay the tax now or pay the tax later. You know, it depends on where you are. But if you're cash strapped, let's say, and you're not doing so great with the cash, then maybe a traditional IRA, which reduces your tax bill. But at the same time, you can invest that money into a retirement account that maybe is going to grow very nicely. If you're in something like AI stocks, NVIDIA, the tech boom that's going on, so maybe your money will outpace the tax rate that you paid. Maybe the money, the profit rate that you make on these investments in your retirement account will far outweigh the tax you paid now. So there's many different ways. The idea is to lower your taxes as much as possible, sock it away into a retirement producing or income producing assets like stocks, and then over time take it from there, because then you can always switch. If you're doing really well, you got cash, then you can switch over to maybe the Roth type products, or there are many other ways of building your wealth, but once you have the cash flow.
Joseph, you have been incredibly valuable to us today. And if people wanted to continue this conversation with you one last time, why don't you tell them how they can get a hold of you before we close today?
Yeah, my website is reyesaccounting.com. That's R-E-Y-E-S as in Sam. So it's reyesaccounting.com. All my contact information is there. And we have a nationwide presence at this point. We have clients all over the country. So we're not limited to our physical office, which is right outside Philadelphia.
Wonderful, Joseph. Thank you so much for joining us today. You've shared some powerful insights from keeping financial systems strong during growth to reducing payroll taxes to making sure entrepreneurs are also building their personal wealth. These lessons remind us that running a business isn't just about surviving day to day, but also about creating stability and a future that lasts. To our viewers, take today's discussion as a reminder to not only invest in your business, but also in yourself. That's the true path to long-term success. I'm your host, Emily Galindo, and this is Biz Talk on Now Media Television, where we bring you the strategies and the stories that help you thrive. Until next time, keep building smarter, not just bigger.